This evening, I would draw your attention to the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, the 10th chapter, the 25th verse. I'd like to look again at a relatively unknown bit part character. This is a rather mysterious man who lived a long, long time ago. In fact, he warrants 7 mentions in the scripture. Mostly Old Testament, but one in the New. In chapter 10, verse 25 of the first book of the Bible, we're told to Eber were born 2 sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided. His brother's name was Joktan. Well, that's a mysterious name, a mysterious man living at an apparently mysterious time. Who was Peleg? The name can mean brook or river, but more likely it means divided and or division. And we were given that very intriguing detail that the earth was divided during his time or during his days. Very interesting expression, during his days. It clearly means that the days of his life, when he was around, when he was walking the earth. And yet we also know that there were a great many other people walking the earth at the time of Peleg. He had a great number of cousins in various parts. And yet the writer of that first book of the Bible talks about his days. There are periods in English or British history in which a monarch has reigned so long or has been so influential that the period of time is known by that name. For example, the second half of the 1500s we commonly describe as the Elizabethan period, the time of Henry VIII, the Henrician period. Several King Georges reigned in a long line. We call that the Georgian period. The period from 1901 to 1910 we refer to as Edwardian. The most famous of all, though, is the Victorian era. I notice even Americans, with their rejection of our monarchy, are not unknown to refer to the middle and the later part of the 19th century as the Victorian era. Well, Genesis chapter 10 would indicate that there was such a thing as the days of Peleg. Was he a particularly influential man? What did he do? What did he achieve? We are not told. Indeed, we don't even know if he used his years on the earth for good or for ill. We know there were a great many wicked people on the earth back then, as there are a great many wicked people on the earth right now. Was he part of some godly minority, or was he part of the rough majority whose godless lives and godless speech are in defiance to the living God? Well, we are not told, but we're told that he had his days. Well, in the days of Peleg, in the days of Elizabeth and Henry, Edward, George and Victoria, people were claiming their days. The bad people always seem to do very well at influencing the times in which they live. They mould the culture, they mould the way people think, the way people act, the way people dress. Godly people historically are not quite so influential. But there is a challenge to you straight away from that phrase, the days of Peleg. These days are your days. What are you doing to shape them, to influence them, to claim them for the Lord, to affect them in a godly and a wholesome way? The days of Peleg. That second detail describes the earth being divided. And commentators are generally divided regarding the meaning of that. People believe in something called Pangaea, or Pangaea, which was a gigantic landmass from which all the current continents broke away. The earth was united, there was one big mass of land, and at some point the continents were formed. If you look at a map of the world, you can see how South America quite clearly fits into the western part of Africa, and that Britain and Western Europe would have been joined with Canada. And some have considered that that great division, which was surely wrought by the Creator God sometime after the fall, that division of the land occurred while Peleg was upon it. Quite what it felt like to be on a landmass which was breaking apart, I do not know. Other people wonder if the division spoken of at the time of Peleg is perhaps referring to the Tower of Babel itself. We know that there was a very godless enterprise led by a character called Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord, who united the human race in defiance of God's command to Noah, Ham, Shem and Japheth, that they should scatter across the earth and divide. He united the people in this godless enterprise of constructing a giant tower which would reach into the heavens. And that has variously been interpreted as the first great false religion. We will find a way back to Eden. We will find a way back to heaven, back into the presence of God and the company of angels. We will do it ourselves with our might, with our ingenuity, with our engineering. Whereas the gospel message is we cannot force our way into heaven. We have no claim on God. We have no right to claim his beautiful company. But rather in the gospel, he, through the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, reaches down to us. And we know that when the tower was being constructed, the Lord came down and altered the language and scattered the wicked sons of Noah. And it might be that Peleg was part of that enterprise, or he was part of this enforced unity brought about by Nimrod, and that he was the descendant of Shem, who was forcibly taken away from this federation, this confederacy of the human race. Others think it may not be so dramatic as that, but rather it's referring to an informal arrangement whereby the descendants of Noah then scattered across the planet, each new and developing race forming a connection to different territorial zones, which, despite mass migration, are still generally the norm. So he lived at a time of division. His name may even mean division. Perhaps it began while he was a baby, and that's why he was given that name. So what do we have? We have a man living in particular days, and we have division. I indicated earlier that there is another reference to Peleg. This time in the New Testament, the Gospel writer Luke is very keen to trace the family tree of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just back to Judah or back to Abraham, such as Matthew wanted to do, but all the way back to Adam. And in Luke chapter 3 and verse 35, in the family tree of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peleg is referred to. He was an ancestor of Abraham and the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as being a descendant of Noah through Shem. And he provided a portion of the DNA of the physical material for the body of the incarnate Son of God. He was part of the godly line. I say the godly line. The godly line often weren't very godly. And if he was involved in Nimrod's nasty enterprise on the plain of Shinar with the Tower of Babel, that might indicate that. And yet we know that God was going to find a way by which the exiled children of Adam and Eve, who were no longer able to enter the Garden of Eden and keep company with God, he would find a way to bring them back and bring them home. And Peleg was part of that line from which the Messiah would come. Of course, there were many people There were many people in that genealogy for whom I couldn't squeeze any more than a few seconds, never mind a few minutes for a talk. And yet I wonder if Peleg, the man who is associated with division, is significant. Jesus Christ is a great divider. Jesus Christ and his gospel, it separates husband and wife. It will separate families. It causes people to be persecuted. There are people even this very evening festering in Eastern jails. Their crime? Following Jesus Christ. And there has for thousands of years been a long and tawdry record of people who've been persecuted for the sake of the gospel. There is very much a them and us about the gospel. You either believe the gospel and you yield to Christ, or you don't yield to him and you reject the gospel. The right-wing racist will divide people up according to their skin colour or their ethnicity. The left-wing Marxist will divide people up according to their social background and their economic class. The gospel rejects such division, and yet it too is a means by which the human race is divided. Those who bow the knee to Jesus Christ willingly, voluntarily, in the here and now, and those who will do so forcibly in the thereafter. The Lord told the parable of the sheep and the goats, and here you've got a picture of a farmer with a mixed herd and flock of goats and sheep off to the market, and yet when he arrives at the market, they are separated. The two are not kept together, and there is going to be a great separation. There is going to be a great division. Right now, believers and unbelievers, we live among each other, and that is a good thing. We who follow Jesus Christ want to influence the world around us in the days in which we live. We want to point people to him, that they too might enjoy this wonderful salvation which he has freely bestowed on all who will come to him. But that is not a long-term permanent arrangement. Whatever the Bible teaches on the end times, and there is a degree of speculation and being open to interpretation, but on the end times, people who believe the Bible are all agreed. There is going to be a formal separation. There is a heaven. There is a hell. There is a new Jerusalem. There is a lake of fire. Jesus Christ has not come to bring peace but the sword. And yet, all over the world, this evening, this week, people are coming to God through him. People from different backgrounds, people who didn't get on, people who didn't previously like each other. Somehow they are being united together, not because of political ideology, not because of ethnicity, far from it, but because Jesus Christ is the only legitimate common ground human beings have to unite together. In one respect, he is a new and greater Peleg. The earth is divided because of him and during his days, and yet he is also the opposite of Peleg. He brings together people from every tribe and every tongue and every language. Members of every human race and every human ethnic division are going to be united around the throne of God and of the Lamb because of their shared faith in Jesus Christ, their shared receipt of his mercy and his grace. Peleg is a mysterious figure. We don't know much about him. But he had a wonderful, marvellous descendant called Jesus Christ, who also is both a divider and a uniter of the human race. And it is my hope and prayer this evening that if you are not part of the great, universal, cosmic, timeless family of gods, that you will come and join it. The great descendant of Peleg, though he currently now divides the earth between the sheep and the goats, one day he's going to recreate it. There will be a new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells, and we will be united at last, not by a Nimrod, not by a Hitler or a Napoleon, not by the beast, but by the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the great descendant of Peleg.